live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, July 10th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Daily U.S. coronavirus cases pass 60,000 for the first time.
Florida, Texas, and California report record deaths from the virus.
New York City cancels large events through September to stem the spread.
And New Jersey takes measures to slow a rising transmission rate.
A weak tropical storm will impact the tri-state area. Plus, President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, is back in prison. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The latest on the sale of the Mets, and Tiger Woods announces his return to the PGA Tour.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Interactive Brokers Mutual Fund Marketplace. Clients from over 200 countries and territories have access to over 21,000 no-load and 8,300 no-transaction-fee funds. Learn more at ibkr.com/funds.
And U.S. futures are lower this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 11 points. Dow futures down 119. NASDAQ futures down 16 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.4%. The CAC in Paris is 0.3% higher. Nikkei in Japan closed 1% lower. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 1.8%. 10-year is up 10.30 seconds. The yield 0.57%. The yield on a 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.25% or 89 cents lower at $38.73 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5%, up $8.70 at $18.12.50 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1293 against the dollar. The yen at 106.78. John?
And Nathan, for the first time, daily coronavirus cases in the U.S. have passed 60,000.
Everybody says, we have so many cases. That's because we test so many people.
That's the president's reasoning for the increase. He spoke late yesterday. Around the same time, Florida, Arizona, Texas, and California reported record deaths from the virus.
And Arizona is seeing its highest number of infections in 6 days. It comes on the heels of what Governor Doug Ducey calls a brutal month of June.
What we have had since are continuing weeks of increasing positivity. So our positivity is way too high.
And he's now tying the increase directly to reopening efforts.
The more activity that is happening in our economy, the more the spread will continue.
Governor Ducey's now telling Arizona residents to stay home. He's also delaying a decision on whether to open classrooms for the new school year.
In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis is pushing ahead with plans for in-person classes.
I want our kids to be able to minimize this education gap that I think has developed.
DeSantis says Florida's leading the way with virtual learning, but it's still not enough.
Yeah, you talk to teachers about what happens over the summer and how there's a summer lag. Well, geez, now we're from mid-March all the way now. And in spite of good efforts with the online, it's just not the same.
Record deaths in Florida are also being accompanied by record hospitalizations. Miami-Dade County reports the highest number of patients in intensive care since April.
In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio is canceling large events that require a permit through September.
It is not time for large gatherings. Just like we said, we would not have indoor dining in New York City because we saw the really painful reality in Texas and Florida and other places.
De Blasio hopes the move can free up room for outdoor dining and the city's open streets program, which expands public spaces for residents.
We've had a lot of success making New York City healthier. We got to really stick to that plan.
New York will deny permits for any event larger than one city block, although demonstrations, religious events, and news conferences are exempt.
And in New Jersey, worries remain over a transmission rate that's creeping up from previously low levels.
The rate of transmission has gotten a little bit uncomfortably high for us, just over one today. It improved slightly.
We spoke exclusively with New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy late yesterday. He joined with New York and Connecticut in asking travelers from high infection states to self-quarantine.
You could do a fair amount, but it is the United States of America. And one of the things we can't do constitutionally is to stop people from another state at the border. I never thought I'd say this, but I'd love to be able to build a wall around us.
While there's no plans for a wall in the works, Murphy says the state is taking other measures to stem the spread of the virus.
We're building out a large community core of contact tracers. They were able, for instance, to track down some folks who had been at a wedding in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hoboken had a bunch of folks returning from hotspots. So far, it has worked, but it is not a perfect system. And again, we have to appeal to personal responsibility.
On Wednesday, New Jersey's transmission rate reached 1.1. That's the number of people each COVID positive person infects. Just weeks ago, the rate stood at 0.6.
And the jump in cases had investors selling stocks yesterday. We saw a similar reaction in Asia overnight, with China leading declines. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. The Shanghai Composite fell for the first time in nine sessions after two state-backed Chinese funds said they plan to trim their holdings, a sign Beijing may be trying to cool the recent rally, which has added $1 trillion to equity values this week alone. The CSI 300 closed down 1.8%, retreating slightly from five-year highs. Elsewhere, automakers and retailers weighed on Japan's main index amid concerns a resurgence in virus cases there will derail the economic comeback. The Nikkei 225 down by 1% in Tokyo. A resurgence in virus cases in Australia saw the ASX 200 fall to its lowest level this month. And here in Singapore, stocks fell and the currency was slightly weaker as Singaporeans head to the polls. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. And when it comes to the economic recovery from the pandemic, estimates continue to slow. Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic says a return to pre-crisis levels could take as long as 2 years.
The models that I'm looking at right now suggest that by the end of the year, we'll be have more jobs and more growth than we have right now. But we won't be at a level that is equal to where we were pre-crisis. I don't think we're going to be at that stage until mid-2021 or maybe later into 2022.
Bostic expects bumps throughout the recovery as we learn more about the virus and as Americans find new ways to do business safely.
And S&P futures, John, are lower by 12 points now. Dow futures down 128. NASDAQ futures down 21 points. The 10-year is at 0.57% yield, and the 2-year yield is at 0.14%. Straight ahead, the latest world in national news. This is Bloomberg.
We're at 6:07 on Wall Street, and that's time to check news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much, sir. It's not a powerful tropical storm, but a system is expected to impact the tri-state area later today. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest on this rainmaker.
Michael, we have an area of low pressure near the eastern shore of Maryland. The National Hurricane Center has decided to call this Tropical Storm Fay. What it is an area of low pressure that's got tropical moisture associated with it. It's going to go up the Hudson River Valley tonight. That's going to lead to rain heavy at times developing across the tri-state area today. It'll become breezy, and that rain will continue into tonight. Right now, it looks like most areas will see a 1 to 3 inch rainfall from this system as it lifts northward. There could be a few spots, though, that do a little bit better than that. Look for some wind gusts over 30 miles an hour. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio was among those painting Black Lives Matter in big yellow letters in front of the Manhattan Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue.
Folks today felt jubilant and triumphant. We were not denigrating Fifth Avenue. We were liberating Fifth Avenue by putting those crucial words right there in front of President Trump's building.
Trump responded via Twitter that the mural would denigrate the luxury avenue. Despite President Trump losing some of his fight to keep his tax records secret, the White House is claiming yesterday's Supreme Court decision was a victory. The Supreme Court ruled a New York prosecutor can get access to the president's tax records, but asked a lower court to first revisit the details.
President Trump, it's a pure witch hunt. It's a hoax. Just like the Mueller investigation was a hoax that I won, and this is another hoax.
It's unlikely Trump's records will be exposed before the election. President Trump's former personal lawyer is back behind bars after refusing the terms of home confinement. Michael Cohen, who is serving a 3-year sentence for campaign finance violations and other crimes, was released on a furlough in May and allowed to return to his home in Manhattan for fear of catching COVID-19 in prison. The U.S. Bureau of Prisons says Cohen was furloughed pending a formal placement in home confinement, but declined to agree to its conditions, which include electronic monitoring and getting approval for interviews. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street, time now for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report.
And you made it to Friday, John Stashower.
Yeah, indeed, John. The Nets and 21 other NBA teams are in Orlando. The bubble experiment is underway. Major League Soccer teams got to Orlando earlier, and that league has seen two teams, Chicago and Nashville, have to stop playing because so many of their players have tested positive for COVID. NBA teams will be practicing this weekend. The games begin at the end of July. The depleted Nets, who've had five players opt out, have added another veteran, Michael Beasley, second pick of the draft back in 08. This will be his eighth team. MLS back playing yesterday. NYCFC lost to Philadelphia 1-0. The PGA Tour is in Muirfield, Ohio this week and next. The bigger tournament is next week, Memorial. Tiger Woods is going to play. It'll be his first tournament since mid-February. Update on the sale of the Mets. Hedge fund king Steve Cohen, whose $2.6 billion deal to buy fell through, could be back in now that the preconditions are no longer in place. The price tag has also gone down, but New York Post reports that if all bids are close, owner Jeff Wilpon would prefer to sell to the group that includes Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez. One NFL wide receiver reacted to comments made by another, the Patriots' Julian Edelman, after the Eagles' DeSean Jackson made anti-Semitic remarks.
Jewish heritage. And for me, it's not just about religion. It's about community and culture as well. I'm unusual because I didn't identify as Jewish until later in my life. Whenever I encountered hatred, it never really felt like it was aimed at me. It was only after I was part of this community that I learned how destructive hate is.
Edelman invited Jackson to visit the Holocaust Museum in Washington. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sport. John?
All right, John, thank you. And a programming note, tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show. This is when we speak with the Cincinnati Reds pitcher, Trevor Bauer. He tells us about contentious negotiations that finally led to a deal to play baseball this season, plus what the game will look like in the midst of the pandemic. Catch that conversation tonight at 7, tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio. You're listening to Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. European stocks are fluctuating this morning as investors weigh positive corporate news against the stalling equity rally in China and a rising number of coronavirus cases in this country. Treasuries are jumping, sending yields near record lows. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower by 14 points. Dow futures down 139. NASDAQ futures down 28 points. DAX in Germany, CAC in Paris both up by 0.1%. 10 years up 11/32. The yield 0.57%. 2-year yield 14 basis points. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.6%, down $1.02 to $38.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% of $9.20 at 18.13 even an ounce. The euro at 1.1294 against the dollar. The yen is at 106.76. And at 8:30 Wall Street time, we get the June producer price index. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. For the first time daily, coronavirus cases in the U.S. have passed 60,000. Governor Doug Ducey says testing will be ramping up in Arizona as the state deals with a high positivity rate. A former top prosecutor in New York said he was pressured to step aside by Attorney General William Barr as his office was investigating President Trump's businesses and inaugural committee. According to the New York Times, Jeffrey Berman, the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, said Barr warned him that his firing would be detrimental to his career. The Big Ten Conference said fall sports teams, including football, will play only conference opponents. It is the first Power Five conference to announce an adjustment to its college football season because of the coronavirus pandemic. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's now 6:20 on Wall Street on this steamy Friday before the open. Futures in the red right now in the U.S. If you look at a chart of the S&P 500 from its March low, it is up right now about 41%. Let's bring in our next guest this morning, Bloomberg Equity Strategist Gina Martin Adams. That kind of says to me, maybe too quickly, too fast, too high?
Yeah, I think you're not alone in thinking that, John. Certainly there are a lot of investors that are a bit concerned we might have bounced back too high. I mean, I think you want to keep in mind, though, that we did have the worst quarter since the Great Depression. So net-net, markets are basically flat on the year. We just had an awful first quarter followed by a very, very big bounce back in the second quarter. I think that the thing that changed in the second quarter was policy and policy only. We did start to re-rate stocks based upon the fact that interest rates were going to remain extremely low into perpetuity and the Fed balance sheet doubled. But now those factors have sort of passed and we're looking forward to the future and we're having a hard time kind of finding what's going to create the next leg up for stocks. And I think earnings season certainly presents that possibility, but there's a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of skepticism that companies can produce any kind of earnings results that are going to provide that necessary optimism to create the next leg higher. Analysts are forecasting a 43% drop in earnings year over year, certainly writing off expectations for 2020. So expectations are very, very low, but can companies start to improve those expectations or not is the critical question right now.
Well, are we really over the policy initiatives from the central banks?
Well, the balance sheet of the Fed stopped rising in early June, and then by no coincidence, that's the point in time when the equity market stopped rising. So certainly, at least in the U.S., the fact that the balance sheet stopped increasing does appear to have been pretty consequential for at least rotation. At that point in time, we saw the financials stop outperforming. We saw energy stocks stop outperforming. Some of the high volatility as well as high value shares that had driven much of the April and May rally and bounce back in stocks stopped increasing and have even given back some of those gains in the last month or so as investors have rotated back toward the higher quality, higher defensive sort of COVID winners. So it does appear to have been somewhat consequential. Now the question remains, will we get another leg higher? Will we get an extension of unemployment benefits? Will we get another fiscal package? There certainly is that possibility, but it does appear that we at least priced in the policy efforts that we had engaged in through March and April over the course of the March to June months.
Okay, so if I have to be more discriminating now, the question is, are we overvalued, cheap, just right? What specifically do I have to look at?
Well, I think when you look at the market at large, we have absolutely priced in lower for longer rates. Our model says we should be trading somewhere around 21 times earnings considering the interest rate backdrop. And that's about where we ended up topping out for the S&P 500. So we've certainly priced lower for longer rates. It will take something more from the Fed to create that next leg higher in multiples. That said, you know, we have not priced for much on the earnings side, and that's why I highlight the earnings season is so critically important, because following major recession lows of the last 50 years, on average, earnings have recovered by 10% over that next year. Analysts are now forecasting about a 1% recovery over the next year. So if we can get even halfway close to average, we should see about a 5% earnings growth rate emerge in the second half of this year and into the first half of 2021. That's certainly slower than the past, but it's better than what analysts are forecasting. So that's the critical thing to watch right now is, can we actually get any earnings growth out of companies? Will the economic reopening start to last? You know, obviously there have been a lot of bits of evidence that have emerged over the last 6 weeks that would suggest that we should be pretty cautious in our expectations for earnings growth, and I think that's why the market's somewhat stalled here.
Out of the gate, we're going to get the bank earnings, of course, the loan loss provisions, et cetera, so forth. That's going to set the stage, and it sounds like you're saying it's not going to be a very pretty picture, at least initially. 30 seconds, if you could.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a very pretty picture. The financials were a disappointment the first quarter earnings season, really kicking off a tough time, and they're not starting off on such solid ground this season either. So it could be a rocky road ahead.
Gina, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Bloomberg Equity Strategist Gina Martin Adams at ahead of the open on Wall Street. Right now, the futures in the red this Friday morning. Dow futures down 158 points. down about 0.6%. The S&P futures, they're 15 points lower. That's down 0.5% this morning. And NASDAQ E-mini futures, 32 points lower. That is down 0.3%. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg WBBR forecast for today, a tropical storm warning, that is in effect. Also, a flash flood watch in effect from 6 this morning. That runs till midnight tonight. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
We're at 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower after daily coronavirus cases in the U.S. passed 60,000 for the first time. Arizona is seeing its highest number of infections in 6 days. That's prompting a warning from Governor Doug Ducey.
People are safer at home. And if they don't have any place to go, stay home.
Ducey is now tying increased infections directly to reopening efforts. He's telling restaurants to limit capacity to 50% and delaying a decision on whether to open classrooms for the school year.
In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis is pushing ahead with plans for in-person classes.
There's something to be said for being in school, seeing people you know, growing up like a normal kid.
That's despite another day of record deaths in Florida. Record fatalities also being reported in Texas, Arizona, and California.
In New Jersey, worries remain over a transmission rate that's creeping up from previously low levels. Governor Phil Murphy has mandated face masks in public and will enforce the measure with fines.
We expect folks to do the right thing here. And do we reserve the right to warn them, to summons them, to fine them potentially? Absolutely, we have to.
On Wednesday, New Jersey's transmission rate reached 1.1. That's the number of people each COVID-positive person infects. Just weeks ago, the rate stood at 0.6.
The jump in coronavirus cases had investors selling stocks yesterday. We saw a similar reaction in Asia overnight. Shares in China led to declines after government-owned funds announced plans to trim holdings. Well, traders are taking that as a warning the country's equity boom has gone too far.
And in Washington, an announcement on tariffs could come today in the battle between France and the White House over taxes on big tech. Here with that story is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Sources say the tariff list to be released will be in the ballpark of $500 to $700 million. The items targeted could include levies on French wine, cheeses, and handbags. One source says the U.S. may delay the implementation of the duties until France starts collecting its tax later this year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Now let's see how stocks are faring this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower by 14 points. Dow futures down 137. NASDAQ futures down 26. 10-year Treasury is up 11 32nds. The yield 0.57%. Yield on a 2-year note 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.5%, down a dollar at $38.62 a barrel. The euro is at 1.1293 against the dollar. The yen is at 106.80. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Nathan, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning once again to Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. It's not a strong tropical storm, but it is expected to be a rainmaker in the tri-state area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, we have an area of low pressure that's bringing rain to the Jersey coast. It's going to come up into the tri-state area today. The Hurricane Center has decided to call this Faye, and that's why the tropical storm warnings are in effect. It's not a true tropical storm. It's an area of low pressure that's got tropical moisture associated with it. So what we'll see is rain heavy at times in the tri-state area this morning. It'll continue to the afternoon. It'll become breezy, especially along the coast where we could see gusts over 30 miles an hour. System's going to move fairly quickly. That should limit the rainfall about 1 to 3 inches. Watch out for some localized roadway flooding later today. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. Malls are allowed to open today in New York regions in Phase 4. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio is canceling large events that require a permit through September. De Blasio says he does not understand some decisions being made in other states after his city was widely used as an example of how bad it can get.
Anyone who watched what happened in New York City would have to be really sober about saying we're not going to risk lives and ignore the science. But unfortunately, a lot of politicians decided it was more important to do what Donald Trump said.
Also yesterday, de Blasio helped to paint a Black Lives Matter mural on Fifth Avenue right at the Trump Tower's doorstep. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says there were 28 new COVID-19 deaths yesterday and 354 new cases. Murphy, speaking to Bloomberg, says, as for the state's economic impact from COVID-19, we're going to need revenue boosters.
We will have to borrow money. This is not either or, it's and both. And we'll probably have to put some revenue raisers on the table as well as we develop our next budget.
President Trump reacted to the Supreme Court, rejecting his complaints that he's being harassed, and ruled in favor of a New York prosecutor's demands for Trump's tax records.
This is purely political. I win at the federal level, and we won very decisively, and so they send it into New York. And you know what's going on in New York. Everyone's leaving. It's turned out to be a hellhole.
However, the president's taxes and other financial records will likely be kept out of the public eye at least until after the election. President Trump's former personal lawyer is back behind bars after refusing the terms of home confinement, which include constraints on talking to the press. Michael Cohen, who is serving a three-year sentence for campaign finance violations, was released on furlough in May and allowed to return to his home in Manhattan. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. And it's time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, thanks, John. As the four pro sports leagues all get ready to play college sports, another matter of the day after the Ivy League said there'll be no games this fall, Big Ten football made a move to limit games and travel. Teams will only play within the conference, so out are games like Ohio State versus Oregon, Michigan and Washington, plus a game that was to be played in Green Bay between Wisconsin and Notre Dame. Other leagues may follow suit. The athletic director at Ohio State says he's pessimistic about any football being played this fall. The Nets practiced in Orlando. They have added to the roster veteran Michael Beasley, but he can't practice until he tests negative for six straight days, and he can't play games until he serves a five-game drug suspension. The Knicks working on hiring a new coach. They're 8 to 9 years. Yesterday's interview was with Tom Thibodeau. He's seen as the favorite to get the job. Tiger Woods' first golf tournament since February will be next week, the Memorial in Ohio. It's a tournament he has won five times. The Mets last winter had a deal in place for Steve Cohen to buy the team for $2.6 billion. The deal fell through, and now the price tag has reportedly gone down to about $1.7 billion. New York Post reports the group that includes Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez is the one that the Wilpons would prefer to sell to. The NFL team in Washington expected to change its name. Redskins out, and a favorite has emerged to be the new name, the Warriors. With no fans, MLB teams may want to pipe in crowd noise. The Angels did it for an intra-squad game. Anthony Rendon called it dumb, said he would prefer they just play music. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. New Jersey was once part of the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. Then the state flattened the curve. Now there are fresh worries at increasing transmission rate and the question about reopening school in the fall. Bloomberg's David Weston sat down with New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy to discuss the state's response to the virus and where it goes from here. Let's listen to part of that conversation right now.
We have to get through the summer, but then we have the fall coming and school, the issue of school, which is very much on the national agenda, not just in New Jersey, as President Trump has really pushed to reopen the schools. What are your plans at this point? To what extent are you planning on people actually being in the classroom as opposed to remote learning?
So our Department of Education and Department of Health put out standards a couple of weeks ago, very comprehensive, largely defining the parameters and the basic principles and leaving it up to our districts to develop their plan and come back for our common agreement. Our bias is to get kids back into the classroom. That's the starting point, but we have to do it responsibly. I think, David, the toughest nut to crack is going to be preventing the unwitting passing of the virus from an asymptomatic young, healthy kid to an older educator or administrator or someone with with underlying health challenges. So the whole notion of capacity constraints, social distancing, face coverings, lots of hyper hygiene, et cetera, doing things outdoors wherever possible, those are all going to be elements of what we think it will look like.
There will be some things that no doubt will be statewide. Let me talk about testing. For example, are you considering requiring that every person, every instructor, every member of staff be tested before they go back to school to teach and serve the students come fall?
If we could do it, yes. We have a daily capacity right now in New Jersey that is somewhere 25 to 30,000 tests a day. Absolutely. The only obvious point to make is even if we're able to achieve that, and I think we could achieve it, this is a virus that doesn't just, you know, it's not a one and done. We got that out of the way, check the box, we're good to go. This is an iterative reality that we're living with. And that's the only caution I would say. This is until we have therapeutics that are developed explicitly for COVID-19, certainly until we have a vaccine, we've got to keep coming back to testing and tracing and doing the right things.
That's New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy speaking with Bloomberg's David Westin late yesterday on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, Dow futures 119 points lower. The S&P futures down 12 points. The NASDAQ E-mini futures are down 21 points. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are sliding as a buying frenzy in China cools and concern resurfaces that rising coronavirus infections will hurt the global recovery. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 10 points now. Dow futures down 112. NASDAQ futures lower by 20 points. 10 years up, 10/32. The yield at 0.58% now. The yield on a two-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.1%, down 84 cents at $38.78 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $10.50 at $18.14.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1296 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2617. And the yen is at 106.78. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, for the first time, daily coronavirus cases in the U.S. have passed 60,000. Florida, Arizona, Texas, and California reported record deaths from the virus. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden launched his plan to revive the economy from the coronavirus-related recession with a promise to build back better than what existed before the crisis. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is coming up on 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check in what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump seeking to harness his Supreme Court losses in making his case for re-election. Democrats come up short again in their bid to investigate the president. Also making news, Joe Biden offering a Build Back Better plan to revive the U.S. economy. And finally, President Trump heading to COVID-stricken Florida for a fundraiser. Let's dive deeper now into these stories. We are joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, thanks for being with us. Happy Friday. Well, let's start off with this president seeking to harness the Supreme Court losses. What exactly is he trying to do in terms of galvanizing the political base? What's the strategy here?
Well, I think that essentially he's going back to an argument that he made in 2016, which is something we've seen him do on a number of issues, everything from China to race relations to immigration. But here what we're seeing is him making the case that these Supreme Court losses show the need for an additional Trump term because he needs four more years in office to help appoint conservative judges and influence the judiciary, pull it to the right, so that he's more able to influence, you know, the kinds of cases that come up to the Supreme Court, if not the makeup of the Supreme Court himself. In his first 4 years in office, we know he's already appointed two justices to the court. It's worth noting that both those justices sided against him yesterday in the case that dealt with the grand jury subpoenas for his tax and other financial records. But I think that the argument he's going to be making to his base, at least, is that they need to come out and vote on November 3rd because he needs their help in getting him reelected so that he can appoint more conservative judges to the federal bench.
Yeah, and this is some have said, a monumental election for the judicial landscape, right?
Absolutely. It certainly can be. We know that Trump has appointed, a number of judges already to, district and appeals court positions. Most significantly, he has already appointed two justices to the Supreme Court. There are a number of older justices on the Supreme Court, so a sense of whether or not there could be more vacancies. Ruth Bader Ginsburg has had some health troubles in the past, obviously a very liberal justice. We did find out this week that while it seemed as though it may not be that serious, but, there was a story about Chief Justice John Roberts having been hospitalized last month after a fall while exercising. Yeah. And it just underscores, I think, the degree to which there could be some opportunity in the next 4 years for whoever's president to name some new justices to the court.
Our next story, Democrats coming up short again in their bid to investigate the president. Of course, this revolves around a Supreme Court decision yesterday.
Yes, and so essentially this was more or less a separation of powers case, and Democrats who control the House had subpoenaed some of Trump's financial records, and the president was more or less claiming that executive privilege covered him from having to turn those over. And he was, for now at least, that argument has prevailed because the justices decided to essentially return it back down to the lower appeals courts and have them, take another look at the issue. And so from a practical political standpoint, that's a big win for Trump because, once Democrats on the Hill got a hold of his financial records, it wouldn't be long, I would imagine, before they become public. And now it's looking less likely like that's going to happen before the election.
Also making news, our next story, what is Joe Biden's Build Back Better plan?
Well, I think, we heard from the Democratic contender Joe Biden yesterday about his economic plan, his economic vision that he's laying out for a way to get the U.S. economy back up and running, in the wake of the coronavirus. And so I think that this is really him sort of making a political attempt to hit Trump where it hurts, given that the economy is not doing as well as a lot of folks on the Trump campaign had imagined back in January or February that it would be, to put it mildly. And so I think that this is Biden essentially laying out his alternate vision and talking about, ways to spur manufacturing, spur innovation, and, paint him as a strong alternative to Trump when it comes to the economic issues that have really been at the core of Trump's reelection argument up until now.
And, of course, President Trump heading to COVID-stricken Florida for a political fundraiser this week, and so he's going to be busy also visiting a fundraiser in New Hampshire, a political rally inside with supporters in an airplane hangar. Kathleen, thanks very much. We appreciate it. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Also, a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
John, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In Scotland, the UK Space Agency is backing two coronavirus-related tech projects. It's boosting funds for drones, delivering COVID-19 test kits to remote Scottish islands, as well as for an app that uses space-derived data to identify and support vulnerable people. The Scottish space sector has seen significant growth in recent years, building more small satellites than anywhere else in the world except for the United States. 3D maps of the universe have revealed one of the biggest cosmic structures ever found. It is a wall stretching 1.4 billion light years that contains hundreds of thousands of galaxies. According to Live Science, the South Pole Wall, as it's been dubbed, has remained undetected until now because large parts of it sit half a billion light years away behind the bright Milky Way galaxy. And in tech news, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company posted monthly revenue that suggests June quarter sales beat estimates. TSMC is the main chip maker for Apple. It is often a barometer for the industry. The company expects robust demand for semiconductors in data centers as they host an unprecedented surge in online activity during the pandemic. And that is today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John?
All right, Nate, thanks. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Today, we're speaking with Lily Pacheco. In 2007, she started Natural Languages based in New Jersey. Her small business provides interpreters. A lot of the work is in person. This is between doctors and patients, for instance, who don't speak the same language. Lily, how has the pandemic impacted your business?
We were forced to migrate over to our home offices. In the next few days, a lot of our clients just canceled our appointments. What we do is we provide interpreters, on-site interpreters for medical appointments.
Okay. Well, how have you been able to pivot during all this?
We quickly contacted our clients and just, you know, just to touch base and see how they're doing and offer them solutions. So Zoom has been our best friend for the last few months. We also save cost by exercising the early termination clause within our lease. The primary concern for me was to keep my staff intact. I have a really good team and I want to keep it that way. We also applied for the payroll protection program and it was approved, and that did help a lot.
It's been a difficult and challenging time for your small business, no doubt, but also on a personal side, you were telling me it's also been very difficult. Can you talk about that?
On April 16, my dad was really, really sick. He can hardly breathe. We called the ambulance. He didn't make it. He already had passed on the couch. So I witnessed all of this on video. Normally, I would have been there in person, right? And, you know, we're stuck in quarantine, and all I was able to do was just watch from the video. So it was really hard.
Like a lot of small business people, you're very resilient, though, in both your business and in life, I would imagine.
As an entrepreneur, we're used to this roller coaster, right? So we make it through. We'll make it through.
All right, Lily. Thanks. Lily Pacheco, owner of Natural Languages, thoughts with you and your family, too. Right here on Bloomberg Radio, we're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time. And that is your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance. We're waiting for Tom Keene, John Farrell, Lisa Abramowitz, right here on Bloomberg Radio and Bloomberg Television. Don't miss it this Friday morning. Ahead of that, Dow futures right now, they're down 97 points. The S&P futures, about 10 points lower, down 0.3%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, down 20 points. For Nathan Hager, I'm John Tucker. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.